progressing at a very rapid pace, oftentimes faster than we can assimilate it. But it becomes a standard of care very rapidly. And when we think of technology, we're thinking of diagnostic equipment, we're thinking of pharmaceuticals, we're thinking of laboratory procedures. But really, what drives that is we have a lot more information than we've ever had before. I was just looking at a statistic about 70-80% of a patient's chart are lab values. You'd imagine how many thousands of different tests are sitting in that chart. So the key is, how do you effectively communicate that data? If it's not, it's useless, and there's also risk. If it's done, if it's performed, if you diagnose and treat the patient, with disregard for the data that exists, it's not good for anybody. So with these massive amount of data, it's become very, very important, particularly over the years, to develop systems, implement systems, to store, to transmit the data, to get it from one place to another, and then put it in usable format. And at first, when EMRs, electronic medical records, came out in probably the 70s, and maybe they were slightly developed before that, they were usually institutional. They were within the organization itself. That means every hospital, their patients had different medical record numbers. I don't know if you're familiar with healthcare, but a medical record number is a unique qualifying number that's separate from all other identification of the patient, in that we uniquely identify every single patient with this medical, with their own medical record number. We take great lengths to make sure those medical record numbers aren't duplicated and that they correctly identify the patient. So it is possible that each one of you, if you receive healthcare in the United States, has a medical record number that's 7 or 8 digits. Now, if you're with inside of the hospital, that medical record number is very valuable inside the hospital if you receive care there. But healthcare is migrating, quite frankly. People are migrating. People are moving. Mass transportation's really changed the face of the economy. It's changed the face of healthcare too. People don't always settle in one spot. They go somewhere else, and with them comes their medical record. That medical record is absolutely essential because it gives the history of the patient, their treatment, their diagnosis, their medications up until that point of time. So it's a very, very important piece of data. With new technology, fiber optic communications, much higher bandwidths, the routers that exist now, the way that information is formatted is fascinating, but it's given us the ability to share that information with other healthcare providers around. So if you happen to be, we here at Down East, we haven't completely gone to a single medical record number that's shared elsewhere, although we do share data, but many hospitals are moving in that route. In fact, many of the hospitals in the state of Maine already share the same medical record number with the patient. That is, if you're in Bar Harbor and you have an accident, but you live in Bangor and you go to see care, your medical record number from Bangor and your history is going to be in that emergency room when you arrive in Bar Harbor. That makes a big deal sometimes in the emergency room, when minutes can save your life. So I wanted to share the importance of the technology. Privacy is paramount. The federal government, one, and there were two reasons for to protect privacy. One's the federal government, the HIPAA, the Health Insurance Affordability and Accountability Act, came out with very specific laws some years ago defining how healthcare protects all the data that's entrusted when it's in care. So that it can't be bought, sold, traded, that there's need to know, only people that have absolute need to know if their job can access it, things like that. Those regulations recently in the past few years have even become tighter, with code sets that uniquely identify information, and much more security on the internet to keep people from getting in. Now, things do happen. We all hear about the breaches that occur. But it's protecting that information is becoming very, very technologically advanced, but even heck, the Department of Defense, the FBI, the CIA, they've all been hacked into. But it's really important from the other reason that we don't also have a legal responsibility to protect this information. There's an ethical responsibility. When any one of you come to seek health care, you're going to establish a relationship with your physician, and that physician is going to be one of trust. Ultimately, when you say, hey doc, I want you to be my doc, and the doc saying, all right, I want you to be my patient, what happens at that point of contact is both legal and ethical responsibility that exist, and it encompasses four areas. And if one is the autonomy of the patient to make them write their own decisions about how their mind and body is going to be treated or taken care of or used. So patients have a right to do that. We consider it very important, indispensable. The second is beneficence, and then there's non-maleficence, so we would never cause the patient harm, but we're always working in the patient's best interest. And the final is justice. Well, a lot of those transactions occur in the delivery of that care through internet lines or through broadband communication from one place to another. We back up and store our data, oftentimes in locations that are not our own. Some may be multiple states away, so we have redundancy. Telecommunications is really a key to the hub, being able to stretch that network out. We have, I don't know if you're familiar with health information databases that were part of the Accountable Care Organization. The data is for patients, unless they opt out of that, automatically goes to a giant hub, usually maintained by each state, a central data repository. And it's really fascinating because we subscribe to it. It's highly protected. Any identifying information in the patient is generally stripped out of it to protect confidentiality. But now we can go back and look at that data. As a small hospital in a rural state, we have a limit to so much data, it's what's limited to our population and number of patients we serve. But what happens if you take 20 other hospitals or 30 other hospitals in the state, and it's all sending data sets to that repository? So I was just working with a company. We just signed a deal just a few weeks ago. It's called the Maine Health Information Net. They have all that data. Now we're able to look at that data for our patients in our service area, and we're getting to that realm where there's predictive technology, predictive capability. What happens if healthcare was able to look at that data and look at a group of patients that are at a certain age and identify certain risks that come up open with diabetes, for example? What happens if you could predict that population, that these 25 people are at high risk for developing late onset diabetes later in their life? What would you do? What we'd do is we'd task our resources so we can put it into preventative medicine to work with that specific group on tailored plans to keep that from happening, whether it's diet, exercise, weight control, blood pressure control, whatever it might be. For the first time, that technology is allowing us to kind of look into the future and head off disease instead of treating it when it's already caused pain and suffering. We're very excited about that opportunity. Without a strong information infrastructure, we wouldn't be able to do that. Imagine the technology that goes back and forth between points of contact, where the data is stored, how it's transmitted, how it's analyzed. It's really remarkable. So I'm going to get off the technology part a little bit and talk about integration. As I read the purpose for your visit and tour, which is pretty cool, is the idea, the integration of healthcare and in the community. The bottom line, in the United States, rural hospitals are often the largest employers in small communities. They're the hub of industry in many ways. Now, if you look at the top of state lists, if you go by states in the United States and look at biggest industry, oftentimes you see healthcare as second, third, maybe even a little higher as a number one industry in that state. That's both good and bad. Well, what it does tell us is that healthcare is widely accessed and used, and it's big business. It is, what, the first or second largest employer in the United States? I forget what product and what percentage of GDP it is as a country, but it's very, very high. It's a huge industry.